Before we pray, let's look at passage from 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who will get drunk are drunk at night. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. Verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10. Verse 10, who died for us, that whenever we wake or sleep, we shall live together with him. Verse 11, therefore comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. This is a message that Apostle Paul left for the members in the Church of Thessalonica. You know that when Apostle Paul wrote many letters, many epistles that he wrote to many churches at that time. And the main reason that you find that one letter after another, one warning after another, is because the church is facing big problems. What are the problems that they are facing? One of the problems is because people are losing patience, waiting for the day of the second coming. Today, when we think about salvation, when we think about the second coming of Jesus, you wouldn't be surprised if you have to wait for another 500 years, 1,000 years, 2,000 years. Why? Because it has been 2,000 years already. Okay? So today, if you know what, Jesus won't, now, it takes another few hundred years for Jesus to come, you wouldn't feel very, very surprised. However, at that generation, from the time of Peter, from the time of Paul, they think differently. Because you have been waiting, you look back the history, 2,000 years, not yet. So how much longer? I don't know. But for the people at that generation, especially the Christian at that generation, when Jesus said, I will come soon, they were like, how soon? Maybe next week? A month? Fine. 1 year. You know, for them, 1 year is a long time already. But by the time that when Paul wrote those letters, it has been 20, 30 years since the ascension of Jesus Christ. So some members start losing patience. They ask each other, then Jesus said that he will come back soon, especially for those who were under great, great persecution, whose house were taken away, whose land were deprived from them, who were cast out from the society, who lost their job and all the possession for the sake of the Lord. They suffered, they were oppressed, and the only hope that they hold on to is Jesus is coming soon. So I suffer 5 more days, 10 more days, and then I can enjoy the everlasting glory. However, 5 years, 10 years, they don't see anything. Also, at that time, some members start to lose their hope. They start to lose their waiting, their ability to wait. Because they thought, how long, Lord, how much longer? That's why Paul wrote many letters for them. I think here in the book of First Thessalonians, it was addressed to a church that was under great, great persecution. You know that the Church of Thessalonica were under one of the greatest persecution at that time. And many members were suffer greatly. But at this time, Paul wrote to them, say, hang in there, the Lord will come for you. The Lord never forgot about you. Just hang in there. Since you decide to take on this journey, make sure that you complete this journey. Also that he wrote this letter, say, remember that you are chosen as the children of light, a children with hope. So make sure that you hold on to this hope till the very end. Brothers and sisters, in this final generation, look around us. Look around us. Look at this society. We are also in a society with great challenge, great temptation, one of the worst ever exists in the human history. And that's what we have to deal with every day, in the daily basis. Also, at this time, how do we continue to live as the children of light? How do we continue to keep our purity according to the teaching of the Lord? Becomes very crucial for our salvation. That's why we are here. We are here through the prayer, through the Bible study, through the message of the Bible, and through the mutual encouragement from each other. Thou shalt strengthen us to continue to live as the children of light. But in here, Paul said that in order for us to claim this status, you know, your identity, in order for you to maintain your identity until the very last moment, there are a few things that you must be careful with, or you must do. Huh? Number one, let's turn to chapter 5. Huh? Chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 5 in here says that, but you are the son of light and the son of the day, that we are not the night. We're not of the night or the darkness, verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and sober. Huh? So then here, number one, Paul told us that in order for you to survive through this journey, number one, please, please, stay awake. Stay awake. Like right now. Ah. You know what? You need to keep yourself awake, not only physically, but also spiritually. Usually, in here, NYTS, most of the case, you are most likely physically asleep, but at least spiritually awake. Okay? What I meant is sometimes you doze off in the class. Okay? But for you to commit sin against God, to have pride, to fight, to punch people on the face, in here is unlikely. Oh, so physically, sometimes you are tired, you feel tired, and you doze off for a while in the class. That's, you know, sometimes that's what happens. But spiritually, you are awake. You hear, you know why you are here. You pray, and then you share with your teammates about your struggles. You ask them to pray for you. That's called spiritually awake. How about after here? You know what? This is almost the end of the first week. Next week. Oh, for some of you, maybe this is the end of it. You know, tomorrow or the day after, you are going home because you are only able to attend for 1 week. You know, the moment that you leave here, it becomes very different. The struggle of the world is always physically awake, however spiritually asleep. Right? You are awake, you do exercise, you know, you run, you work, you hang out with friends, you have all these things that you need to attend to. Look at your schedule. One thing, every day very busy. So physically always awake. Play video game until 3 a.m. So always awake. Oh. So you know what? You are always physically awake. Either you are busy striving for your career and future, or something else. Huh? But you are always physically awake. However, very often after we leave here, no more counselors or team captains remind you what to do. No more bell ringer tell you class time. No more pastor say, hey, why aren't you praying? You know what? No one is looking at you over your shoulder to make sure that you are spiritually awake. You are the only one, most likely, that you are the only one that determine whether you will be awake or asleep spiritually. Also, in here, Paul reminds us that if you want to be the children of light, you want to be successful, number one, make sure that you force yourself to stay awake spiritually. Okay? Don't fall asleep. Okay? So be cautious. In here, Paul says that be cautious, be careful, watch. Do not be like other people. Now that's the second problem. The first problem is that sometimes we just fall asleep. You know, 1 week after NYTS. For the first week after NYTS, you pray. You try to stay away from computer. Oh. So you know what, for the first week, fine. But then the second week, the third week, you know, you go back to the old ways. Oh. Then you fall back to asleep. In fact, fall back to asleep. So that's the first thing that we need to be careful. Have someone, make a friend in here. Make sure that the person probably call you every other day. Are you using your computer more than 3 hours again? Have someone warn you, remind you, bug you. You know, that's what technology is for. Technology is for you to remind each other to stay awake in the Lord. Okay? But number two, even here says what? Do not fall asleep as others do. What's the second problem in here that we see? We imitate from the people around us. When you are in here, you look around. Oh, they are OTJC member. They are all here, pursue for a greater spiritual goal. But you know what? Out there, people next to you, your peer, your co-worker, your friends, they might have a different value or different pursuit of their life, different destination, different goal that they want for their life. So you know what? If you go back and then you forget about your identity, you forget everything that you have done in here, you forget what you have learned throughout the classes, you go back and then you look at others, you say, hey, you know what? They all behave like that. Why don't I? Why can't I? Why can't I just be like them? That's what we always hear from the youth. You know what? They are all doing this. Why can't I do that? So much restriction, so much, you know, I was so restricted, so much rule, regulation. I am not free like them. However, in Yoning here, Paul told you and I very clearly, you know what? There are many people out there, they do whatever they want, but you are not them. Don't forget, you are not one of them. You are not. As we said earlier, a few days ago in the prayer session, that whether you will be successful in your spiritual battle or not, all depends on if you are there to be different. Not only dare to be different, but proud to be different. Very proud. I'm different than the people of the world because I am the chosen one. I'm the children of God. I'm the children of light. That's why I am not only dare to be different, but I'm also very proud that I am different. I am different. For I am the heir. I'm the children of the heavenly kingdom. Okay? Also, thing here says that in regard to other people, I don't need to follow them. There's a difference of I don't want to follow them or I cannot follow them compared to I don't need to follow them. For the first two, it's a struggle. You have to force yourself, push yourself, pinch yourself. Oh, come on, don't be like them, like you struggle. But for the real Christian who are filled with the Holy Spirit, there is no need for you to be like the people of the world. I don't need it. I don't need it. There is no driven force. There's no a force that pull you toward them. I don't need it. I'm very confident and very satisfied with who I am. I don't need to be like them. Okay? So number two in here is that remind us that. As other people, you don't have to be like them. And number three, let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 7, for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Huh? Also, in here, Paul mentioned three things. Number one, do not sleep. Number two, do not be like others. Number three, do not get drunk. You might say, hey, I don't drink. Oh, you shouldn't. You might say, you know what? I'm fine with this part. I don't drink at all. So since I don't drink, I don't get drunk. So I'm exempt. I'm fine with this part. This is not talking purely about drinking alcohols. It's not. This is talking about drinking the wine of this world. Let's turn to Revelation. No? Revelation. Revelation chapter 18. Verse 3. Yeah? Revelation chapter 18, verse 3.
I think here it says, for all the nation has drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The king of earth has committed fornication with her. Huh? So what is this wine? This wine is the temptation of the world. The lust of the world. All the fun, entertainment that deprive you from your spiritual pursuit becomes the wine that gets you drunk. In our generation, we emphasize on entertainment. Relax. Have a good time. Which is not really wrong. I mean, you work for a long day. You want to relax a little bit. Okay? And you work throughout the year. You want to have a vacation. There is nothing wrong with that. But when we talk about drunk, drunk means that you have done so much to the point you are actually losing control. Losing control. You might be losing control to your sensational entertainment. Something that, oh, is always sensational. Something that, you know, give you a lot of goosebumps. Something that you enjoy so much to the point that you forgot what is more important. For example, earning money. Earning money. Is earning money wrong? No. Money is neutral. Earning money is something that you should do to provide for your livelihood. You don't want to get to like, what, 35 and still go home and say, Mom, can I have my monthly allowance? Oh, I need to buy some cookie for the night. That would be pretty sad. So you know what? Earning money to prove that you are able to be independently run your life, that's a good thing. That's called maturity. However, earning money to the point that you forgot about God. You don't come to church anymore. You only think about money. Any people, anyone that you see becomes what? Business perspective. Then that's called drunk. Drunk in the wine. Entertainment, TV, internet, movies. We're not in here to talk about whether you can do it or not, because it doesn't matter what I say, you do it anyway, right? Just because I say, no, no more TV for you, and then you go home, you're like, oh, no, you still do what you do. But when you are unable to control yourself, for example, if you are watching Korean drama until 4 a.m. every day, you are drunk. You have been caught by the things of the world. You no longer do your Bible reading as your daily, like, you know, your cultivation. No more cultivation. When you kneel down to pray, you are thinking about, oh, is he going to marry her? That's just, you're polluted. That becomes a big problem. So, brothers and sisters, discipline, self-discipline. Keep yourself away from drunkenness. Because in here it says, once you are drunk, you are no longer the children of light. You become what? The children of darkness. So self-discipline, self-control is the way that will earn you the crown of righteousness. Okay? So this is the warning from Apostle Paul. Continue. Let's take a look. Huh? Let's turn back to 1 Thessalonians. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Verse 8, but let us who art of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of hope of salvation. Now continue, it talk about equipments. Equipments. So the first thing it talk about is be alert, be careful. So be careful, don't get drunk. Be careful, don't follow others. Be careful. Do not fall asleep. So the first one is that be careful, be cautious. But number two say, be careful is not good enough. Because as much as you try to be careful all the time, sometimes your concentration might slip, okay? So you know what? You can only be careful for that long. And sometimes, you know, things just happen. So Paul in here says, you want to be careful, yes, but it's also very important to fully equip yourself. For example, someone, if I'm shooting, I take a bow and arrow, I keep on shooting at you,
You know, Sam is like dodging. And then we just keep on shooting at him. And one of these days, he's going to miss the dodge. Yeah, he's unable to dodge. You know, too much. So, you know, if I keep on shooting at him continuously, and he only try to dodge to avoid being shot, and down the road, somewhere, sometime, I will be able to catch him, to catch up with him. I will be able to shoot him. However, if when I shoot at him, he was having all those bulletproof, like, you know, like Iron Man, like the movie, all metal plate. You know, fine, shoot me, no problem. Even if he was unable to fully dodge all my arrows, he shoot on him, well, no problem. He was able to survive and continue. So that's why Paul say continue. Do not just always only rely on dodging. You have to always, you have to also equip yourself. Like how the police put on the bulletproof armors, bulletproof vest. So, you know, just by accident, they get shot, at least they won't get killed. So number two thing here is that put on three things: faith and love and hope. Faith and love is how you live your life. Faith, how do you earn faith? Faith is through your daily life, how you overcome one tribulation after another, how you make one right decision after another. Every time when you struggle, even small things, when you see that there's a piece of trash in the chapel, at that very second you struggle for a blink of an eye, that should I pick it up or should I just walk away? At that very second when you struggle, even for small things like this, if you walk away, but after half a second you say, I can't. You turn back and pick it up, your faith grow up already. That's how you grow your faith. When you struggle, you force yourself to do the right thing, then your faith grow. Also, faith, the process for your faith to grow require environment. What kind of environment? Struggle. Okay? Also, thing here is that you need two things in this life. You need to be able to conquer all your struggles, because every time you conquer, then your faith will keep on grow and become stronger. Second is love. By doing love, by sharing the grace of God with others, by go out and preach the gospel, by allowing others to see the great blessing of the Lord in your life. You know what? Every time when you are able to share the love of the Lord with others, when you testify, you are the one that get benefit the most. I'm not sure if you ever experienced that, but every time when you open your mouth so bravely to a stranger, a true seeker, sit alone in the dining hall in the church during the lunchtime when no one is talking to him or her, and you're like, pumping, and you don't really want to approach to a stranger, but you say, but somebody need to do it, and that somebody should be me. You know what, when you push yourself to do something that you don't want to do, get away from your comfort zone in order to show some love, just out of the love for the Lord, and you go over there, you sit down, and then you share your testimony. And then you will suddenly feel that this testimony touched yourself even more than the moment that it happened. You are talking about your own testimony, but you touch yourself to tear. And then the truth seeker will look at you. Are you okay? Seriously, that happens all the time. There are so many church members who are so glad, so eager, so willing to share their testimony, because every time when they share that the testimony, they relive that moment of the wonderful grace of the Lord, and that moves them to tear. So this is two things that you need to continue your journey in life. But number three says that hope. You also need hope. What hope? Hope that one day I am going home. Hope that the church will lead me to salvation. Hope that the Lord has never forgot about me. So you know what in here says, hope is the helmet to protect your mind, to protect your soul. There will be many teachings, many weird teachings out there. People will try to tell you everything, especially if you are online all the time. You know what? Online all the time, you receive all the weird informations. And you know what? If you believe everything according to the Bible, if you believe everything, you're a fool. You're a fool if you believe everything that you've read online. Okay? So, you know what? You have to be careful of the information that you receive. That's why you need this helmet to protect your head. To protect your head. So that Satan's arrow do not penetrate your mind. Okay? Also, in here says that hope, looking above, looking up, just like when Noah built the ark, God said to Noah, leave a window so that you can look above. That's the only window in the ark. The only window is looking up, no other windows. That's called hope. When Noah was in this ark and don't know what happened outside, sun very scary, it's pretty dark inside, and the animal very smelly, like, you know, dark, compact, and don't know about what happened next. He might have a lot of fear in his heart. But every time when he look up to that window and see the sky, he said, I have a hope up there. My Lord will never desert me. And that's what keep him going. So you know what, down the road, throughout your life, there will be moments that you struggle. There will be moments that you are very uncertain. You don't know why things become the way it is in your life. Look up, there is always a hope, and that hope shall save you to the end. Lastly, in here says that you have to put on equipment, right? You have the breastplate, you have to put on the breastplate, the plate, and then you have to put on the helmet. If you ever visit the museums about the Roman equipments, like military equipments, Metropolitan Museum, they have a section specialized in all the armories from the Roman Empire. Do you know the weight of that equipment? From head to toe, 90 pounds. So a soldier need to carry 90 pounds on the field, on the battlefield, running. Okay, 90 pounds. Sword doesn't include it. 90 pounds. And you know what? There's no way. There's no way for you to carry, to put on the equipment yourself. You are unable to equip all the armors on your own. Someone need to help you out. Now that's why in here, let's turn back to verse 11 now. Verse 11. Now verse 11 says, therefore, comfort each other and edify one another as you are also doing. So lastly, Paul reminds you and I, yes, you need the equipment to protect you from injury. You need the equipment to guard you, make sure that you survive the attack of Satan. Yes, you do need the equipment. However, if you think you can do it on your own, you are in big trouble. Every time when you think, I can do it, no problem, I'm strong, I'm mighty, try to put down a 45-pound plate from the back. I mean, you can put down the front, you know that they are too locked. So you put the front, you put the back, and then you lock them. But you can carry the front. How about the back? What are you going to do with the back? So on the battlefield, you'll be like one arm holding the front plate, the other one reaching the sword. So you know what? You need someone to help you, to look after you, a companion. Companion. So even Paul, if you look at Pauline letter, you will find out that he always mentioned about his co-worker. Many of them, not just one or two. Maybe one or two are more famous. But if you look at his letter, you will find out that he always mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or many, many co-workers fighting the battle with him. How many co-workers you have? How many great bonded spiritual friends that you have? Paul said, I got many. How about you? How about you? So brother and sister in here says that one another, each other, together, in order to win the fight, in order to be victorious in this life, in order to be called the children of light. Paul has laid out the way how he was able to defeat Satan, how he was able to succeed in his spiritual journey. Now the method, the way has been presented to you and I. What are you going to do about it? It's your choice. It's my choice. Let's all come to the front to pray.